Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. He says trepidatiously because now there's only three of them.
Oh, no.
Soon to be two.
Is this Survivor?
It's feeling like it.
Kinda.
Yeah. I may let Andrew win. I may let him be the last one here today.
You got the worst one, too. The other two good ones left.
He's being self-deprecating.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you didn't recognize it.
I thought he was taking a shot at me, and I was going to kill him.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I saw the look on his face when I said that, too. It was like,
yeah, he seemed to get really offended by your self-deprecation.
I was like, wait a minute.
I could see the gears moving in his head, like, how mad am I
Is
at this? How mad am I at this right now?
Oh, I see. When he said, oh, the good ones left, you're
yeah,
like,
yeah, I thought
well,
he said, well, what the hell, man? You could do worse, Andrew.
Mm.
And you have. Hey, have you seen Weezer in a live show?
No, I've not.
Do you like them?
I do very much.
So I saw it was Green Day, Fall Out Boy, Weezer, whenever they did that tour.
Mm-hmm.
And Weezer's the one. Yeah. And Weezer's the one I really wanted to see because I like their music the best of the three of them. I liked Green Day, Fall Out, whatever. Weezer was the most boring.
Really?
Yeah. Just that one show. Green Day, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They were unbelievable live. And that, I mean, Billy Joe, he has got so much energy, the whole band.
Yeah, they really they lean into the show aspect really hard, which is nice to see. Because you don't see a whole lot of that, I feel like, anymore. That was, I know, big in, like, the hair metal days, and you had the, you know, sparklers on every side of the stage exploding all the time.
Yeah.
And then nowadays, I think it is to save money. That's kind of always been my theory. That now bands just kind of stand up there on the stage, and they play their music or whatever. And it's like, eh, I mean, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I am technically here to see the music, but I did also pay, like, you know.
You want a show.
$50 for this. It's
I'm
like,
in,
let's put on
I'm
something
in the
cool.
middle. I don't want, I don't really like a show because I'm such a purist when it comes to music and growing up in the era that I did. Like, I want guys in blue jeans and t-shirts with amplifiers and not even a lot of, like, accoutrement going between their guitar and their amplifier. I just want rock music.
See, that's really interesting. I know a lot of people don't, but I like U2. I like them, you know, the stuff from the 80s and all the way up until now. It's not the same anymore.
Did you like that album that got put on everyone's iPhones?
I did like that.
That was so bad.
But I get why people didn't like what they did. They thought they were doing a great thing. Like, hey, here's
they
a free
sure
album. And it pissed everybody off.
Sure did.
What they should have done is say, here's a code for the free album if you want it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they admitted that was wrong. But they did the tour in like 2001 or whatever. And they came out and their first song, House Lights, were up. No anything until about halfway through, and then the show kind of started, and they did that intentionally, and I thought, that's really cool. I think I would like to see it for a little bit, but then I want the show.
Yeah.
I want the lights. I want the screens.
Yeah.
I want all that stuff, which there's value in both, because when they're stripped down, you get to see how good they are without, you know, all the bells and whistles and all that, but I still love the show.
Yeah.
How was the Weezer set list? Because they went through a period of time where they were making about an album every 4 months, and they were all terrible.
Well, they were doing most of the older classic stuff like that one.
They were doing the hits? Okay.
Yeah. They did Jonas. They did stuff like that.
Okay.
But
that's nice to hear.
It was still just a little, there was a less energy with them than the other two.
For being a lifelong musician and playing as many gigs as I have, I've not seen that much live music. Like, my mom and dad, so my brother, who was 11 years older than me, kind of ruined music for me because he was a child of the 60s and he was kind of a pothead and kind of a hippie. And my dad was a hard hat Joe World War II guy.
Yeah.
And he hated everything about rock music and electric guitars. And so my brother kind of ruined that. And then when I came along and I was like, I think I want to be a musician, they were just like, tamp this down as hard as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And it didn't work because I still was. But whereas my brother had the guts, I guess, to just, I'm going to a concert. And if you think you can stop me, you can try. Right?
Yeah.
From that era.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I go see Van Halen? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, can we have ice cream? Can we watch Love Boat together?
Okay, I'll just sit on the couch.
So yeah, I like that kind of miss me, and I think that's exactly why. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a decent amount. I'll tell you what I'm not. I'm not one of those people, and I kind of wish I was, but I'm not one of those people who loves to go see any live music, any obscure band.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It for a newer artist or a newer band or whatever it is, it takes... I'm a little slower on the uptake.
Yeah.
I'm not like, hey, there's this great new band
I'm
coming out. You're going
to
love it.
I'm jealous of those people too, though. They're like, we're going to the pageant to see Wisley Nuts.
Yes.
And I'm like, what's that? And they're like, they're brand new. I'm like, you're 65. What are you? Why aren't you at home?
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was like that. The music, I saw them before anybody else did thing. And I'm not. I wait till they establish themselves and then I jump on board.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I've always been that way. I feel like a poser because I'm not like one of those people who's discovered a band or I liked them before anybody else knew who they were.
I didn't get to go to big rock shows early because of my mom and dad. And then I didn't feel cool enough. That's always been a thing for me. Like very aware of where I was in the echelon of cool, right? Yeah. And even though I played music and I liked music, the kids at school with like band names written in ink on their denim jackets seemed infinitely cooler than me. And they were going to the, what was it back then? The Checkerdome to see a band. And like, I knew I didn't fit there. I didn't know where I fit, but I didn't fit there. And so I missed on another whole era of going to music when I should have been going when I was like a teenager in a young 20s.
Well, I remember when I was in high school, there were some cool kids at my school that were coming over to see shows at the pageant when they were like 16 years old, driving themselves to go see The Urge.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really cool. They're going to go do that. And I didn't really have an interest in it, but I thought it was cool that there were people doing that.
No, my mom and dad effectively and successfully kept me a dork. And so when I was...
You get in less trouble.
You do. When I was 15, we were at McDonald's together, me and Jack and Francis. And I looked over next to me and there was a carload of 16-year-old boys from my class that were there by themselves, just raising hell. And I'm like, can you hand me my fish fillet? Oh. And I literally sunk down in the back seat. And I just like, it was just one of those things like, I didn't know this was happening.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought you'd all be out with your parents.
Look at all these cool people doing cool stuff.
Uh-huh. It was a rude awakening. And then I was kind of mad, just kind of mad at my mom and dad. Like, what is this, a sociology experiment? Why didn't you just keep me in a pit in the backyard? Why didn't you just point to a tree and say, there's a dog, or something like that.
Mom's still picking my haircut out for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the shoes I have to wear.
Yeah, pretty much. So, what can you do? You can't look back and, wish it could have been different. And I'm not even sure I would have embraced it because I was a dork. Like, I was legit. Like, I wasn't just going to one day join the cool kids.
Yeah.
What are we going to see? Black Sabbath, right on. I wasn't going to make a quantum leap from Fantasy Island to going to see Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, so I wonder, is it innate or is it learned to be cool? What is it, Andrew?
Good question.
Well, in my experience, I think it's innate. In my experience, coolness is more, and maybe this is just the era that I'm from, coolness was sort of based on like originality and confidence, right? Do something that's unique. I've always been told people like people that have like their own unique style, right? Like let's say stupid glasses and dumb hats or whatever, right? So like if you have
just not letting up.
I think I look handsome.
But that's the thing. Ranji has a unique style that's all his own.
It's not that unique. A lot of people
do. And you've got like the beanies and stuff. Like that's what people think is cool.
So we're cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys finding your own original style. And then also it's funny how that it like switches with your parents, right? Like I would go out to dinner with my parents or whatever when I was 16 or 17 in high school. And I would see like other people I knew from school or whatever. And I'd be like so humiliated I was there with where else was I supposed to be?
That's a weird thing that happens in high school. And it's really junior high, high school behavior where mm-hmm. you're embarrassed to be out with your parents.
Which, yeah. like, where else
Which
would
is stupid.
You be?
Yeah.
You make like a good point.
You yeah. live with them, and they buy you all your things.
A runaway?
Like, there's that yeah. great line from The Simpsons where the bully says to Bart, like, would your mommy buy you that shirt? And Bart's like, yeah, who else would?
Right.
Yeah, of course you should. Of course you did. And then, like, I remember being, like, 31 and being out with my parents at a restaurant and seeing someone I knew from high school and being like, oh, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened.
You're going to think I, like, live with my parents.
I know.
Which,
yes,
like,
yes.
That's not even that weird. Like, that's not weird. At this point, it's like if you live with your parents, you're probably, like, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. Like, you might be a caretaker.
Because then I think your idea becomes that the cool people, their relationship with their parents is they're all just, like, roommates.
Yeah.
And they can leave, like, the house whenever they want. They can do whatever they want. Hey, I'll be home at a vague time.
They, like, I don't know, sell drugs to get money or something. Yeah, right. I don't know where they got money from.
I think that there are levels of cool, though. And the most obvious one is, like, the Fonzie cool. Like, the kid that we all went to school with whose hair was a little longer and he smoked and, like, you know, he didn't have to go home when the streetlights came on. There was that kind of cool. But that was more of an affect. Then when you met, for me, when I met funny people,
mm-hmm.
and they were cool, you know yeah. what I mean? They weren't Fonzie cool for sure, but they were smart and they got to jokes that I didn't get to. And you know what I mean? Like that mm-hmm. was, then I found my level of like, oh yeah, that guy's cool.
Well, I think one element of cool is not really worrying too much about what anybody else thinks.
Yeah.
If you can have that.
Which I've never had a moment of in my life.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah, I got it. I don't know. I think I've gotten more of that as I've gotten older. But when I was younger, I was hyper aware of what yeah. I thought I looked like and what people what I assumed people saw when they looked at me. I was more aware of that. I think I might be a little less of that now. But there's like a real freedom and coolness in just like, hey, I'm doing yeah. this. I like doing this, and I don't really care all that much that you think it's stupid. There's a lot of coolness in that.
Yeah, probably like 8 minutes before I die, I'll realize I have a booger in my nose and I won't care. And that'll be the one time life that I get to experience.
Your last words are like, cool.
I finally made it.
I don't care what any of you people think about this booger.
And of course, we will all be there. We'll be around you treating your bullet wound.
You know, I'm going to have...
You took one from the bandits on the ridgeline.
No, I'm
going
to have the worst death because I have...
You saved the stagecoach.
I have built it up so much in my mind of the deathbed and everyone around and they're just inconsolable and even strangers are asking, can they just get a minute with Dave? I'm going to end up getting hit by an ice cream man
yeah.
on an afternoon. And yeah,
I'm gonna fall into a sinkhole.
Yeah,
I've already decided yeah. that's yeah. what happens to me.
Yeah. You're gonna fall into like an open manhole on the ground, yeah. like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I'm gonna step on the one street cover that isn't like well secured.
Your last words will be whoa.
Yeah, you know when you walk down the street and they've got the grates yeah. on the street that, you know, usually
one
it's
one of
where
those finally give.
Yeah, one of those finally give out.
I tell you what, every time I walk across those, I'm like, I'm taking a lot into my own hands here.
I will be killed in such a way that there's really nothing to say about me. It'll be like the guy was dressed as Grandpa Munster. Like, that'll be the lead.
What is it? Isn't it Louis has the joke about dying and he wants to be healthy enough that if he dies, people ask what happened instead of, hey, Louis died. Like, oh, yeah, of
yeah,
course
that
he
makes
did.
Sense.
Just want to be healthy enough.
I said the other day when I turned 60, I'm like, I'm only young if I died.
Well,
then people will be like, are you kidding? 60?
Wow. He died at 60? That's so young.
Somebody's hiding, it's drowning. 124 DGS on KMOX. Rach is in Japan. Amy's in Switzerland. Wheeler's in Wheelerland somewhere. And so it's me and Andrew and Chris for the next 30 minutes. And it's me and Andrew. Sue's going to be here to hang out a little bit. Priest and Rabbi coming up at 4 p.m. And then Steve gave us the day off tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Me too?
Yes.
Oh.
No.
You're part of the DGS.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm actually still going to be here, and then John's going to be here, and we need you really bad because Michael Kelly isn't available, so it's...
You know, it occurred to me, you and maybe my family, only people call me Chris.
Oh, yeah? Everyone calls you Ronj?
Yeah, Ronji, Ronj, whatever.
I call you Chris.
You don't.
Sometimes.
No, you don't.
Maybe I don't.
You say my last name, and then you say it with stank.
Chris.
Do you like it or not like it?
I don't mind it.
When people call you Chris.
I'm fine with anything.
Yeah. Are you Christopher when you're in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was hardly in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm a good boy.
My problem is I don't mind anything except Andy. And so without fail, somebody will be like, Drew, Andrew, what do you want to be called? And I'm like, I'll go with anything. Anything's fine. And then they go, got it, Andy. And I'm like, oh. But
why do you hate Andy?
I don't want to say like anything but Andy because I'm 34 and I'm not like, you know, I'm not a 2-year-old.
I don't know.
I just never have. It's never been my thing. Drew's got the same name in there, so he agrees. He gets it.
Do you think it's weird when an adult is like Billy or Tommy or Jimmy?
Not really. I
don't think it's that big of a deal either.
I thought I would when I was like in high school. I'd be like, I don't know. If ever that topic came up, I'd be like, I ain't calling no 40-year-old man Billy. But then it's like, nah, who cares? You can be Billy if you want to be Billy.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Doesn't bother me.
Dave's weird.
If you wanted to be Davey, I'd call you Davey.
Do you like David?
I don't like any of my names much.
I don't either.
You know, just...
don't like Glover?
No, they're all very brown. They're all very blue to me. They're all just, you know, like I'm proud to be a Glover and, you know, I'm used to being Dave. But I always wanted to be something cool. Again, back to the original.
See, I think Glover is.
Do you?
Yeah. I think Glover's like a radio person's name.
Oh, I never thought that.
Ronji sucks. I love my family, Stoles, but I hate my last
Stoles
name.
Stoles is also really bad. No one knows how to pronounce it. It's spelled weird. It's got a Z. It's got a silent letter in it.
I still am not sure if it's Stoles or Stolzy.
I'm not actually, genuinely, not either.
A year ago.
Yeah. We go by Stoles in the family, but we have had other like German people tell us that it's supposed to be Stolzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, Germans. I don't even know. Right. I don't even know what it is. And then I say, like, you guys have enough problems. You don't need to be worried about mine.
Yeah. I'll listen to the German Stolzes when you clean a few things up.
I will always, when I'm like reaching out to guests and emailing people and stuff, I will always introduce Dave as Dave. But every so often, like, a guest will call him David, and I always think that's really cute. I remember John McCain calling you David.
Really?
That was cute. Yeah.
Senator McCain?
Yeah, we had Senator McCain on the show when he was running, I think, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like,
I can remember that.
Yeah,
now.
He was like, great to be here, David. Always nice to.
As I recall, I really went off on him for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You were like that is Mr. Glover to
Listen,
you.
Man.
You will treat me with some respect.
Yeah. You put him in his place.
Yeah. You really showed him what for.
I still get Danny quite a bit.
Oh, Glover. Like the, yeah.
People hear Glover. People hear Glover and they just kind of jump to it subconsciously. I don't get it, but it has happened a few times.
You ever gotten Donald?
No, that'd be okay though.
Yeah.
I prefer Donald to Danny.
I do too.
Yeah, he's my favorite Glover.
Very talented.
Very talented.
I agree.
Those Glovers.
I know.
What are you going to do?
All one and the same.
That's right.
One big family.
All right. Feels good.
For DGS, you ever get
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like referred anxiety from something from your past, like for example, St. Louis University School of Law is right across the street from us, and in the same building as Chris's Pancakes, where we go all the time. And it is the fall, and the first year students are, you know, they're going from getting used to being in law school and being yelled at and finding their classes on time, and now they're looking down like, oh my gosh, finals are right around the corner and the end of the semester and blah blah blah. And there's such a specific flavor to that fear, such a specific smell to the law school first year fear, that I can't help but getting a whiff of it every now and then. But then it's like having a dream where your teeth fall out or you miss an exam in college and you wake up and you remember, oh, I graduated. You know what I mean? And it's such a relief.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure in there was like for the school year restarting, just regular school. And then having a paper due, like when I was in college and we had to write the, I was in grad school, you had to write the really long ones, like the 70, 80 page novels, which seems like a lot, and it is. But having that deadline, I remember that every now and then of knowing I have to write something and thinking, oh my God, how am I going to do this? This, and I'm not even close to being done, and it needs to be done in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
You went to grad school?
Yeah, man.
For this?
No, I didn't know that I was going to come back into this.
Okay. What was it
so
for?
It was a communication degree and did like PR.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, see, you're like a geologist and we just didn't know.
Now that would be awesome.
Yeah. Just never
if I
told
had a
compl- anyone.
Psychologist?
Yeah.
I'm a psychologist. Yeah. No, but it was.
Where did you go to school for grad school?
Same place, Illinois State.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason I did it was because there was a thing where you could, if you came back to the department you were already in, they would waive your tuition.
Oh.
And you stay for another couple of years. You could teach a class, you know, have the assistantship, and then you would get a stipend on top of it. So I did that.
That's nice.
I taught public speaking.
Very
to
nice.
Freshmen.
I can see you being a teacher.
I was not great. Nobody got...
I don't see you being great. I can see you doing it.
Yeah.
Can't see you being great at it.
Nobody got less than a C from me. I'm like, that's pretty good.
No, good for you. That's how it should be.
Yeah, people don't take public speaking to flunk.
No.
Yeah, if you flunk somebody... Like, public speaking is hard. It's like the number one fear in the world or whatever. Like, you can't fail somebody at it. Like, if you're not great at it, that's fine. You can work on it.
I thought about being in academics for a half a second when my psychology professor tried to talk me into getting a PhD and being a teacher. And I think I would have liked it. But it's weird how you can trace how you change through life. And I think I would probably be it. I would have just come through my phase where I felt like what I was doing was really important and none of these kids care. And it would have really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think I'd be moving into my phase of like, well, who cares?
So you would have done college?
Yeah, I think I don't know that I have the guts to be a high school teacher.
No kidding.
Yeah, me
or
neither.
Below that.
Me neither.
No,
that's too real.
There are way too many things about me you could make fun of for me to be a high school teacher.
Oh, if I was going to do it, it would have to be at the collegiate level. The problem with that is if you're a real professor, you have to continue to do research.
Right.
So you're having to constantly think of things you want to study and you know, surveys or whatever. And that's a lot of work on top of.
Yeah, you got to have like a lab. A bunch of the like Washington professors have like their own lab and then students work
in it. I would love to have my own lab.
Ugh.
Just none of it means anything, but stuff boiling and blue liquid.
Yeah.
Just walk in and hold it up to the light and put it down.
Like the set of Bill Nye the Science Guy, just steam everywhere.
And then you got to come up with a hypothesis all the time. I don't want to do that.
Ugh. That's too much work. Then you got to prove it.
Yeah, then you got to try and prove it. Oh, come on. I ain't doing all that.
Plus, you know, people are going to poke holes in it.
Yeah, I don't want that. I just want whatever I do for you to look at and go, nice job. Thanks.
You probably don't know this story, but it's such a great story, and you're just going to love it. So I had never had much academic success. Smart enough, but lazy and just didn't care. I just didn't put two and two together. So in my junior year, maybe senior year of college, getting a psychology degree, we had to write our first real paper. And the professor was like the professor of the whole thing at SIU. He was the poobah, right? And he said, here's the deal. You're going to write these papers, and I'm going to give you the chance to write them a second time if you don't do as well as you think you should. And most kids got like a 78 and tried to rewrite it to get in the 80s. I wrote mine and got a 94. Out of nowhere, just caught a flyer. And he called me into his office like I was his colleague. And he was smoking a pipe. And he goes, now, of course, you could write this paper again. Puff, puff, puff. But there's no reason to, since you clearly understand the material. Mm-hmm. And I made an immediate decision because I had no core. I wasn't a real person. So I had to decide who I was going to pretend to be.
Yes, I knew.
Yes, sir.
I pretended to be someone who cared.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, professor, that's not how I'm built. I'm going to rewrite this thing, and I'm going for upper 90s. And he takes a big draw on his pipe. He's like, well, impressive.
Okay.
Impressive?
Well, yes, indeed.
So I rewrite it, and I pull in an 82.
Yep. There's the danger.
I learned such a lesson.
Yes.
That, and I taught it to my kids. I've told my kids that exact story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
If someone thinks you're smart or competent, even if they got it all wrong, don't do anything to dissuade them of that.
It is a perfect
answer.
A perfect illustration of don't let great be the enemy of good. You've got a 94, which is that's what you want. It doesn't have to be 100.
You're fine with the 94.
And and in hindsight, even more than the 94, he loved the whole, like, you're the smart kid. Let me bring you into the fold of geniuses.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you don't have to write your paper again, not like these other idiots out there.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Oh, so you thought that he was, you don't have to, but
no,
you should.
I knew what he was doing. I didn't think enough about his motivation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was digging that.
Yeah.
He liked having that occasional smart kid who he had identified me as. He was wrong. but I should have seen what he, like, it's just as a people pleaser. I should have seen what he wanted and gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe we can go golf sometime, sir. You know, that's what he was looking for.
He wanted to, like, help have you bring you into Mensa or whatever.
You got another pipe there?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great lesson.
Yeah.
That's a really good lesson. The only story I can remember from I haven't a lot of grad school stories, but I was teaching the public speaking class, and one of the semesters I had, it was something like a 5 o'clock class, and it was one day a week, and it was on campus but far, and I remember it was right around the time our papers were due in our own classes. And these are the, you know, the 60, 70, 80 page monsters. And it was also during the time when you had to save things on a disk instead of it being in the cloud and you can go back and access it. So I always worked from home, always from my computer at home. And this one day, my buddy's like, hey, you want to go to the library and work on our papers? And I said, all right, I don't know. I've never done it. Why not? So we go, and what's the point? I'm sitting next to him, not talking to him or anything. So I'm in the library. I cranked out a lot of this paper, put it on the disc, left, decided to go home. It was like all-nighter time. It was one of those, it was like, I need to be working all night on this. It's due in 2 days. And I wasn't very far. But I cranked out quite a bit of this thing. So I get home. I think I'm gonna sleep for like 3-4 hours. I wake up. I go to get my disc. No disc. I left it in the library. I go back to the library. They got the lost and found disc thing. And I'm sorting. I'm like, it's not there. And I'm like, well, now this thing's due in 12 hours. So I had the class that I was supposed to teach. And I drove to the class. I got in. Everybody's waiting for me in the room, all the students. And I said, here's the deal, guys. I have my own paper, and I have lost it. So there's no class tonight. I got to go home and work on it. And some of those kids had to come from like really far. And I'm like, I'll drive you home. And I know
that's
not
ideal.
I know I'm not supposed to do that. So I gave, I had my little Ford
Everyone
Escort.
Everyone gets wheelbarrow rides. Yeah. Come on, get on my lap.
I had this little Ford Escort.
$5 if you don't call the dean.
Piled 6 college kids.
Who wants to see me shirtless?
Oh my God. Oh, and then I did that too. Yeah. Had to drive them all. That was, people who are in school now will never understand how awful it was to have to use floppy disks and how great it is that you can have a 2 million pages worth of stuff in the cloud.
I had a professor,
I don't know what that's like,
in nonverbal behavior who had a class after hours that was optional where we rubbed each other with oil.
You lost me, but then you got me back.
True story.
You lost me with after hours and you won me back with the oil.
Yeah.
Like, just went in, and I went in. There was a girl I was in class with who I kind of had a crush on.
Sure.
And I was like, you know, so I was being that version of me. Like, hey, let's be crazy and go to this thing tonight. And it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was even weird knowing what it was going to be.
Is it weirder now looking back on it?
Yeah, especially since, I mean, this would have been like 1983. It was not okay in 1983. It wasn't okay in 1843. And it definitely wouldn't be okay in 2024.
I do need to ask some follow-ups. I'm sorry.
All right. Wesson.
Did you know going in? Like, did he say, hey, you know, I'm teaching a class tonight about where we rub oil on each other if anybody wants to come out? Or was it when you got there and he's busted out the baby oil is
we
when you
knew
were like, oh.
It was physical and tactile and about nonverbal behavior. But when we got there, and I'm not exaggerating, and the floors were covered with tarp.
Oh, God.
Second question. Last question.
Oh, God.
Why?
Yeah.
Why did he do this? He was really into it, and I think he was probably into a few other things.
Oh, I'm sure he was into it. But why bring that to everyone else?
It was probably his favorite. It wasn't appropriate.
Yeah, it was a passion project.
So, yeah, I think it was basically his one time a year to do something. And
wait, so what class was this?
Nonverbal psychology. Where it was typically like, now here's how to tell if someone is angry, if they're not using their words. Then he's like, yeah, I'm going to put oil on your back and you're going to put your back against him. And
boy, ironically, there's a whole lot to unpack on the nonverbal psychology professor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rubbing oil on a bunch of.
Yeah.
It's weird. Oh, it's weird. Tell you what, 20s. Though, I wouldn't have skipped that class.
No, you gotta go.
I'd have been there for that.
Yeah, I might have gone.
Yeah, might have.
I might have gone. You could have talked me into that, I think.
I don't think he could have got rid of you.
I would have talked him into a second day of it.
So today is our day with most of our crew gone. Rach is in Japan. Amy's in Switzerland. Wheels is he in Florida or is he up north this time?
He is in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. And so they're all gone and they'll be coming back at various stages. Sue Thomas is coming in at 2 p.m. to hang out this a little bit. Going to play some Craigslist with her, which is a game I made up called Craigslist Price is Right, where you go to Craigslist, you find interesting items, and then you bid on them and whoever's closest wins, blah, blah, blah. And we're telling Chris about when Rachel put the game together, but she channeled her inner Dave and she didn't really read the postings. And she was auctioning off basically a sex doll. And it said adult toy. And then it gave the description, and it could not have been a more accurate description of a torso. And she thought it was like a toy that adults played with. She didn't think it was an adult toy.
She's not wrong about that.
And she's just reading it, and she goes, and we have an adult toy. It's 18 inches high. And I'm like, wait a second, an adult toy? And she just breezes past me. She's like, yeah, yeah, a toy for adults, Dave. Just pay attention. And then she starts reading the description, and it's getting more and more graphic.
Incredibly graphic.
Incredibly graphic.
Do you know what's really funny about this is the... like, what does she think an adult toy would look like? What would an adult toy, an innocent adult toy,
yeah, like
what would that be?
Yeah, like a big Tonka? I don't know.
Yeah.
Look like a, it looked like a squishy torso is what it would look like.
Evidently. Well,
a squishy silicone torso.
You're going to be my best friend. We're going to play and play. What should we play first? We're going to Pizza Hut.
Hey, Andrew,
we gotta go get
Andrew, you want to get in on this? No.
We can split it.
No.
Yes, you could.